Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We have a fun topic called Pick Up Your Mat and Go. We're going to be pulling from six different books in the Bible in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. And the common theme is evident through each one of these scriptures, and it has to do with Jesus' invitation. He is creating in all of these scriptures that we'll go over today, Jesus is linking a positive transformation in these individuals' lives. And he's linking the transformation to one thing, taking action. He's not just inviting them into an experience and just to listen about it or to listen to a parable. He's calling people to action as being part of the solution. He doesn't just say, you're healed, and drop the mic. There's an action that's connected to it. So my invitation to you and our learning objective for today is to understand the powerful link to your own personal transformation and to the prayer that ignites an action, a forward action step. What would you have me do, dear God, in this situation? Where would you have me go? What resources do you want me to tune into that I have in order to move in a positive direction in my situation? What resources do I need to gather to myself in order to reach the goal that I feel that you've placed upon my heart? And because it's October is known as Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it's actually, I like to include anyone that's facing the experience of walking through cancer back to restoration or knows somebody that has, that's pretty much covers probably everybody that's on this call. I'm going to be sharing some of my personal experience when I walked through advanced cancer and linking it to an action step that God put on my heart when I was praying for solution in different situations. So let's jump in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, we just thank you for the opportunity to grow in our understanding of this incredible invitation to link an action step to our desired positive transformation. You always invited the people that you encountered into some form of action, whether it was pick up, whether it was take carry, whether it was leave behind, whether it was press on to what is ahead. There was always an invitation for forward action. Help us to jump into that experience of co-creating the reality that has you at the center of our mind, our will, and our emotions, and doesn't just leave us sitting in the trenches of our problem or our perceived undesirable situation, that you are a God of solutions. You are the God of rainbows in the midst of storms. And you are the God of transformation. And when we ask, seek, and knock, you promise, dear God, to open up those doors, not only open them up, but nail them open. You call us to out of our complacency, out of our fear, out of our doubt, into possibility. And we just pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would enter into this conversation today. May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight for the edification of every human being that has come across this podcast today. I pray that the words of my mouth would fall like poetry of your love on their hearts, so that they would run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to fellowship for a greater good and for our transformation, to be able to make you recognizable in all things. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. All right, let's jump into our scriptures today. Again, our learning objective is to understand the powerful link between taking an action and positive transformation that is set forth in each one of these scriptures. So I encourage you, if you haven't done so already and you're in a position to get on your computer and print out a one page or even look at the one page, we've created at Edge Got In a five-step process of learning the information, reflecting on the information, identifying, adjusting, and integrating and taking action on the information that you learn. And it's under the resources tab on EdgeGotIn at edgegotin.com. So if you haven't already done so, I encourage you to pause this podcast and go print that out. If not, listen through the podcast and you can always go back and capture your learnings. But for the sake of those people that are just listening in on the go, perhaps you're driving or in motion, tune into one to three things. Ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me what's for me in today's podcast. And have that open, curious mindset to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. That's for you, to help you in a personal transformation and to draw you closer into the love of Christ. And then write that down or repeat it as you're driving. And then when you come to a place of stopping, you can record that and write it down. Go over your learnings from today's podcast at least two times in 48 hours. Studies show that when you learn new content, that if you take time to reflect upon it and even write down a forward action step as a result of the new learnings, that your odds of application and transferring the good stuff that you're learning into your everyday life so that you become the best version of who God created you to be. Studies show that if you go over it within two times in 48 hours, you increase the odds of that being the case up to 85%. So let's jump in with a scripture. And these will be listed under the podcast as well at edgegotin.com. Matthew, our first scripture and invitation into the story of linking positive transformation into an action step comes from Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus is chatting with his disciples here. And basically, he says to them a very profound invitation. And it's a invitation that has been repeated commonly amongst Christian circles. And Jesus simply says, whoever wants to be my disciple, if you guys want to be my disciple, then here's the deal. You need to deny yourself. So that's an action step. What does that look like? To deny self. And he adds another action step. Take up your cross and follow me. So there's two actions here. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Deny self, take up your cross and follow me. Then he explains it a little bit deeper, which he often does. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be if someone gains the whole world yet forfeits their own soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So here Jesus is inviting us as his followers to take up our cross. Now, when I was diagnosed with advanced cancer, I remember specifically one of the first meetings that I had with my oncologist, and he laid out the treatment the protocol of the treatment that I would be going through over the next 5 years. And after he had laid this out, I started to get hot flashes. And I remember thinking about this scripture when it comes to the phrase, take up your cross and follow me. And in that situation, I had a choice point to give more authority to the diagnosis. That was a cross, or follow Christ. To give more authority to the diagnosis, or follow Christ. And give Christ the authority, the end say in that game. And this was a constant tossing back and forth for me as they found more cancer, as they found more lymph involvement within my system. There was incredible amounts of earth school opportunity to practice. All right, am I giving the cross more authority, the struggle, the hardship? Or am I picking that up in spite of the fact that they told me they're trying to get me 5 years, even after 16 chemos, a year of additional chemo, 6 weeks of daily radiation, a double mastectomy, experimental treatments, 5 years of a specific drug that was used at that time for the type of cancer that I had, as well as a MRSA staph infection and other things that were complications. They were all made up the cross for those 5 years. So I had lots of different little itty bitty crosses. Now, if anybody on this call has ever gone hiking or climbed a mountain or done any kind of physical activity and halfway through, your body might say, you know what, I'm done. I don't want to finish this. Perhaps it was in the area of an intellectual climb. Perhaps you're in a course or a program. I remember during my master's programs and certification programs, there was times where I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. Why am I doing this? So it's giving you have plenty of Earth School opportunity to apply today's principle that the true positive transformation, your greatest strength, comes when you take action by following Christ. Part of our experience of following Christ is listening to what Jesus Christ of Nazareth says. A very powerful practice is to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's the letters in red, and simply just read everything Jesus says. You'll start to hear a common theme. Come follow me, no matter how tough it gets, follow me, let go, leave behind, put your hand to the plow, press ahead. There's that invitation for action. And in this one, Matthew 16, 24 through 26, we have the invitation to give more authority to following Christ than whatever it is that is your cross today. Second scripture, we jump to Mark now. That was Matthew. Now we're moving to Mark. Mark chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd. Now, this is the story where a bunch of friends, they have somebody who's one of their buddies is sick. He's been sick physically speaking. He's been bound in his body for a long time and he was paralyzed. And so they had faith because they heard about Jesus' miracles and they gave more authority to the current situation that they were in. They gave more authority to what they were hearing about Jesus than they did the current situation of their friend. So this is profound service. And they couldn't get to Jesus because this was a huge crowd that was around Jesus inside a particular location. And they decided to find a solution and climb to the top of the roof. They made an opening in the roof above where Jesus was. They actually dug through the roof and lowered the man, their friend, the man that was lying on the mat, down in front of Jesus. Imagine this scene. Jesus is teaching the people. All of a sudden, you hear this rustling. And these friends are digging away at the roof, and they make a hole to lower their friend down on a mat in front of Jesus, this paralyzed man. Jesus was moved in verse 5. He was moved when he saw their faith. There is that mystery and that connection between personal transformation and faith and action. And Jesus saw their faith and took action and says to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, of course, because of his stance on taking authority to forgive sins, it spread like wildfire, and there were some teachers of the law that were sitting around thinking to themselves, why does this guy talk like that? He's totally blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? So there was judgment all around, slithering in and out of the dark shadows as Jesus was going against the grain and the culture beliefs of that time. He was breaking out of the box to draw people out and up of their own self-focused judgments to set them free. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking. He knew what was going on in their hearts. Jesus always knows what's going on in our hearts. He's not surprised by anything that you have thought today or did, anything that you'll think or do tomorrow. It's no shocker to him when we're mucking around in the shadows. The invitation for today is to understand that if you want to get out of your current problem, and a problem is an opportunity to tune into a solution, Jesus gives you the process, as we're reading about in the scriptures, of linking, taking an action to unleash a positive transformation. So Jesus is doing a couple things here. Here he's healing the man, who is paralyzed, and he's also convicting the hearts of the other men who are judging him for doing this. He says, why are you thinking these thoughts? Can you imagine? They're not even saying them in their out loud voice. And Jesus just calls them out. I just love moments like that. Why are you thinking these thoughts? What's up with that? And Jesus says, what's easier to say to this man? Your sins are forgiven, or get up and take your mat and walk. There's that action. So he was going for the deeper experience of cleansing the sin because he knew the ramifications of a man that was cleansed of sins and was healed physically. The ramification of that was healed physically would accomplish the same desired result. He would be free. So Jesus is speaking to the judges about this. Your sins are forgiven. Or shall I say, get up, take up your mat and walk. Now Jesus goes on in verse 10. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. This is a key phrase here, a key verse. The reason why Jesus said, Son, your sins are forgiven, is because he wanted the onlookers to understand that he has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, what's interesting, after speaking that, he then turns to the man, I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Now, Jesus always meets people where they're at. So once he realized the hardness of the hearts around him, they couldn't get the fact that he could forgive sins. So he spoke their love language. In verse 11, he changes it from verse 5, when he said, Son, your sins are forgiven, after realizing the judgments and the incapability of the people around him that were judging him to really grasp the fact that this was the incarnate, that he was a son of God and he could forgive sins, he shifts it and meets them where they're at. So he turns to the paralyzed man and says, I tell you, get up. He gives him an action. Take up your mat. Another action. And go. A third action. So get up, take your mat, and go. Get up, take your mat, and go. One of the statements that I had for myself when I was going to through daily treatments, particularly the daily radiation, is to be here now, to focus on chunking down as when you are climbing a big mountain or you're climbing something, as I mentioned, mentally speaking, whether it be a course or a project, or something that you're initiating in your life that seems massive, that you chunk it down to small steps. Be present in the moment. There is no moment of life that occurs outside this present moment. God's grace drops in now, not in the past or the future, which is why Jesus was constantly inviting us to be here now. And he speaks in the moment. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I tell you, he says to the paralyzed man, get up, number one. Two, take up your mat and go. Get up, take up your mat and go. What is your mat today? When I was going through the experience of cancer, the mat that I continually picked up daily was the mat of fear that the treatments wouldn't work, the mat of fear that I would leave my three young children without a mother. And to be honest with you, this is the same mat that I continue to pick up several times a week. Whenever I have an ache in my back, or my head, or shoulders, or lungs, knowing the kind of cancer that I had, typically comes back in the brain, the lungs, or the spine. Any kind of pain in those areas, my mat is fear. What is your mat? When I was going through the daily radiation, I would pick up the mat of fear. Going through chemo, you have to sign lots of different forms. And one of the side effects is possible heart attack. And I remember not reading too much of the fine print and choosing to give Jesus more authority and take action to memorize the scriptures that countered fear. And so to flood your brain with scriptures that counter whatever it is that is your mat, that makes up your mat, that holds you in that place of being stuck or paralyzed. So where are you paralyzed today in your life? Perhaps it's relationships. Perhaps it's lack of forgiveness. Perhaps it's lack of self-forgiveness, a pain from the past, a trauma from the past. What makes up your mat? Jesus is calling you to take it up, to go, to get up, and to walk. And this kind of transformation happens moment to moment. The response to the man when Jesus called him into this action, I tell you to get up, take your mat, and go. In verse 12, he got up, took his mat, and walked. So today, if you hear the voice of Christ speaking into the shadow of your life, whatever it is that's burdening you today, come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He speaks his love to you, just as he did this paralyzed man. Increase your faith. Get up, take up your mat, and go. Get up, take up your mat, and walk. And he walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they ended up praising God. We've never seen anything like this. So now we move to Luke chapter 9, 23 through 25. We've already walked through Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. We just walked through the story of the paralyzed man who was lowered through the roof in Mark chapter 2, verses 4 through 12. Now we're stepping into Luke. We're jumping through the Gospels here with this common theme. Luke 9, 23 through 25. Jesus again repeats the same message. This is the same, well, Jesus doesn't repeat it, but it's recorded twice. And it's recorded actually more than twice, but it's in Matthew and Luke. So Matthew 16, now this is Luke 9, we hear the same message from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus says to him, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. For what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their very self? What do we gain by gaining the trinkets and shiny objects of the world and yet lose intimacy with Christ? Or sell ourselves short by compromising truth, or selling ourselves short by jumping onto projects that aren't yours to jump onto, rather than praying for the blessing on other people's lives and their projects. What is it for you today? What good will it be to gain whatever that is in the world that you're longing for, and yet forfeit your soul? What can anyone give in exchange for your soul? When about 6 months into the treatment, I had had a double mastectomy. I'd had the major first four doses of the Red Devil chemo, which knocks every hair on your body out of your head. And I remember being straight up with my doctor and saying, listen, after all this treatment you guys are proposing for 5 years, what are you saying behind closed doors? And he just took a deep breath and looked at me and he said, well, our goal is to get you 5 years. And instantly, that was a cross. That was a cross. I could have given power to that cross. I could have given authority to that cross. You're trying to give me 5 years. Or I had a choice to follow Jesus, to save my life in Christ and lose the earthly fear of death. There was a choice point for me. And that's a choice point, as I mentioned. Anytime I have an ache or pain, I can choose to give authority to the fear that the cancer's back or my body might betray me again, or I have the choice point, do I give more authority to Christ within me and to what he says is possible, and then speak life into my cells down to the cellular level. I always go down to the mitochondria, which are the engines to our cells. I give my body permission to heal and restore. Thank you, God, for my healing. Thank you, God, for my healing. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit our very selves? So what is it for you today in the world that you are giving authority to define your worth, value, capability? Jesus is calling you to action. Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? And Lord, do you even want me to do this project? Is this where you want me to spend my time today? Do you want me to work with these people? Do you want me to accept this job? Do you want me to stay in my position? So often we rise and fall depending on what the world says, and we forfeit our soul, our connection to Christ, our freedom in Christ, our strength in Christ. As it says in Matthew 16, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And when I was diagnosed with cancer, I have a chapter in one of my books called 99 Things You Want to Know Before Stressing Out that talks about deathbed wisdom, that the kiss of death was the gift of life. It ended up being the kiss of life. The kiss of death ended up being the kiss of life, meaning that I woke up to those things that I can take with me beyond the pine box. And sometimes I'll get lost in the shiny objects, and like a cat, I'll be chasing something endlessly. And I'll literally hear Jesus say to me, "What are you doing?" So I say to you today, what are you doing? Is what you're chasing aligned with Jesus calling for you and God's will for your life? Do you glorify God in what you do? You can glorify God in everything that you do. In the corporate, I do a lot of executive coaching, and in the corporate world as well. Whatever you're doing, whatever God's called you to do, you can bring the countenance and presence of Christ into it, into your words, your thoughts, your deeds, and your actions. Let's move to John chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem to one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there was in Jerusalem, there was a sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic was called Bethesda. Perhaps you've heard of that. And it was surrounded by five covered colonnades. So this was like a destination place. There was great numbers of disabled people that would seek healing and restoration in this particular area. Probably similar to Lourdes, France. That's another place that's known that people will have a desire to go to experience healing and restoration. So these people were going to Bethesda, and they were seeking, there were the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And there was one in particular, an invalid that had been there for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in that condition for that long, he approached him and asked him this question, which is a very powerful question to ask. Do you want to get well? So my question to you today is, do you want to be free from the anxiety of whatever it is that you're giving free rent to between your two ears, whether it's worry about the future, wondering why things happened as they did in the past? Do you want to stay there? How's that working for you? Maybe there's another way. Jesus knew that walking through the archway of a well-posed question, which is what we really highly value in Sherpa executive coaching, coaching for ICF as well, is the well-posed question. Why? Because any time that you ask yourself a question or another human being, you are able to dismantle the fears that keep you stuck. And that question, do you want to get well, actually spoke into his fear, into his sense of stuckness, if you will. Sir, the invalid replied. This is how he replied to him. I have no one here to help me at the pool. When the water stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else jumps ahead of me. It is so easy to give more authority to the problem or the struggle. And believe me, I say this with much compassion after going through 5 years of treatment. It's so easy when your body is weak, it's so easy to have your spirit follow the flesh if you don't keep watch and use the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to rebuke those shadowy times. Sir, the invalid replied, I don't have anyone here to help me. So what is it for you today that perhaps you will shift for transformation, you will take action on to help you step out of victimization? I wrote an article called 8 Ways to Throw a Successful Pity Party, because if you're going to throw a pity party, it might as well be a good one. And believe me, I threw some pretty darn good bashes during those 5 years. And Jesus crashes those pity parties and says, how's that working for you? Do you want to stay there? So do you want to get well? Again, this is a question that will produce an action, a choice point. You either stay stuck or you take action. No, I don't want to stay here. All right, now we're talking. Then let's take some action. So he doesn't directly say that to Jesus. He just says, well, I'm trying to get in. Someone jumps ahead of me. How many times have you said, nothing works out for me? Everything works out for someone else. You spend time mucking around in jealousy or comparison. And as a result of that, you are stuck. While you're trying to move forward, you see someone else getting what you thought was rightfully yours. So you have a sense of entitlement that leads to disappointment, which leads to self-doubt. And then you find yourself just sitting and stuck in the eye of the storm or the struggle. Jesus crashes that. And he says to this man, get up. I love this encounter, because Jesus doesn't fuel the sense of victimization. And many times we will create a full story, a full drama, and cast ourselves smack in the middle of it. And then we'll call people up to tell people about our drama. And that even gets us even more connected, and we lose our sense of identity in the drama. Jesus wouldn't have anything to do with it, because he knew that that wouldn't provide the healing he ultimately was seeking. Jesus turns to him after his dissertation about being stuck and says, get up. Again, action, get up, pick up your mat, another action, and walk. Again, we have 3 actions here. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once, the man was cured and picked up his mat and walked. Action is connected to positive transformation. Our final scripture for today comes from Acts 9, 32 through 35. And this could have gone throughout the whole scriptures. These are just some points to be able to provide us with some powerful scripture-based teachings to give us that invitation. Do I really want to stay here? Then I want to take an action, God. Show me what I need to do. Now, when I was going through advanced cancer and I heard from my oncologist that in spite of the 2 years of chemo, 14 surgeries, double mastectomy, the 6 weeks of daily radiation, the experimental treatments that they were giving me at that time, that they were trying to get me 5 years at 38. So I counted 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43. I said to myself, I'm breaking out. I remember getting on my knees and said, dear God, send me everything I need for healing and restoration. And he put an action step on my heart to call this particular ranch or healing alternative healing place out in Tucson, Arizona. I couldn't even walk at the time. And so my mom and my sister came out and took me in a wheelchair. And one of my best friends came out and helped me to get there to this particular place. When I was there, they actually told me 2 specific things to do. One of them was to drink aloe vera grown out of this particular coral reef in Florida. It's aloe1.com. And I learned from the guy Stockton, who lived to like 98, that to drink 3 8-ounce glasses of the aloe vera, aloe1.com, that aloe vera, because it has a certain mineral base, trace mineral base, and it helps to alkaline the body. Cancer cells can't grow in the midst of alkalinity. Come to find out, a recent book that was published 2 years ago called Chris Beat Cancer, he decided not to do traditional treatment, and he drank the same exact aloe vera that I was told over 10 years ago to drink. So I asked God, send me what I need to do. I still drink this aloe once or twice a day when I'm having those little mats, my mat of fear that pops in the middle of the night. I'll up it to drinking 2, sometimes 3 glasses a day just to make sure my keep the cancer cells down. The other thing that I was told to do was to get something called Organic Defense. It's by Wyora. You can just get it on Amazon. It's volcanic ash, and it's the number one, one of the number one absorbent, ingestible elements that you can take that pulls out toxins and metals from your body. A compromised immune system leave us vulnerable for cancer cells running awry. That's the other thing I learned. I started reading white paper after white paper, what causes cancer, and asked God for action steps to be able to do and to do those things, those types of behaviors and actions, to be able to counter the effects of a low immune system, toxins in the body, lack of sleep, and inflammation, and some other areas that I focused on. But the two big ones of the action that he gave me were to drink the aloe from Stockton Aloe 3 times a day, 3 8-ounce glasses a day. And I've been doing that ever since, and I passed that along, as well as the Organic Defense by Wyora. And that I take 3 drops 3 times a day. At the time, the people at this medical, alternative medical place said to drink or to use 16 drops, 10 to 16 drops twice a day. So that's a little bit of the action steps that God gave me. So what is it for you? Ask specifically whatever it is, that little ring, like I refer to Gollum a lot because I love that image of Gollum in the cave. What is your ring that you're clinging to? Your shiny object, your mat, that you're giving more authority, that's keeping you stuck so that you can't stand up, pick up your mat, and walk forward. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk forward. So obviously he had some pretty good disciples following him because they picked up on this type of invitation for healing and restoration. Because we find in Acts chapter 9, 32 through 35, Peter's traveling about the country. He went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda, L-Y-D-D-A. There, he found a man named Ananias, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. So Peter's encountering Ananias, who's been bedridden for 8 years. Ananias, Peter said to him, right away, not a lot of small talk going on here. He just knew of his condition. He was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat. Immediately, Ananias got up. All who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Again, get up, roll up your mat, and go. Peter invited Ananias to do the same thing. We have that invitation today, brothers and sisters in Christ, to get up, roll up her mat, pick up her mat, and go. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have that mat influence your thought life at times. How quickly can you stand up, pick it up? This is a cross. Pick up your cross. The cross of fear. Is it a cross of lack of belief? Whatever it is for you today, pick it up, roll it up, and walk forward with the Lord. Dear God, what would you have me do? Send me what I need for solution here, dear God. Give me something to do. There's never been a time in those 5 years when I was seeking healing and restoration that I was ever left empty-handed. It got pretty darn dark. And there were times when I was stuck in the eye of the storm and I couldn't even breathe. There was many times when I flatlined and actually stopped in my body and flipped out and came back in. There are times when you will get to the end of your rope and you'll think, there's no way I can do this. May it be quicker today than yesterday, that the Holy Spirit reminds our mind to turn to the one who restores and transforms, quicker today than yesterday. Sweet Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to just reflect on these powerful scriptures that all speak to the same invitation. Whoever wants to follow you needs to take action. It's not just a matter of watching you from the sidelines. You want us to play the game of life. You want us to play the infinite game of life with home field advantage of having your presence guide every move we make. Give us the grace to let go of the things of the world, the shiny objects, the fear, the doubt, the worry that forfeit our soul, Lord. Give us the strength to choose you, to trust in you, to have more faith. Give us the grace of faith, God. We know that it's by faith that we can move mountains. So increase our faith. We believe, Lord, help our unbelief. Give us the strength to pick up our mat, to stand up, pick up our mat, and walk. Stand up, pick up our mat, and walk 100 times and more, and quicker today than yesterday. Help us to look quickly, even quicker today than yesterday, for that action step by pausing and asking you, I'm stuck. I'm stuck on my mat. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? Give us that grace of direction, dear God. You promise to make the bumpy road straight when we trust in you, to give us that clarity of focus. You delight in us to make the way clear to us. So I pray for everyone who's listening into this podcast, dear God, that you would grant them clarity of focus. Give them the question to ask and the ears to hear your response to clear up the fog and to cast out the shadows so that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint, and we can get up and go because you've got work for us to do. We don't want to slow you down, Lord. So override us when we're sitting on our mats and giving more authority to the mat than we are to your call to stand up and walk. Thank you, God, that one of the powerful lessons of all of this is found in Matthew 14, 22 through 23, where you even gave Peter actions because you see the desires of our heart. Peter sees you walking late at night. He sees you walking on the water. Everybody was freaking out because they thought it was a ghost. And instantly you said to them, and you say to us today, whatever it is that is holding us back and makes up our mat, you speak into that. Take courage. I'm here. Don't be afraid. And we have that part in us, Lord, just like Peter that said, Lord, if this is you, tell us to get out of our boat. Give us the strength to step away from familiarity. Tell us to come to you on the uncharted waters. Help us to hear and respond to your voice. And when we do start to look at those waves around us, when you call us out of familiar territory, give us the strength, as you did to Peter, to keep our eyes fixed on you, because you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. And in you, with you, and through you, we lack nothing. Truly, you are the Son of God. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Give them heaven today. We encourage you to explore more podcasts, more lessons. Our main mission at Edge God In is to champion your human potential in Christ. God's favor to you. May he bless the work of your hands and your heart so that you could be more like him today than yesterday. We look forward to our next podcast together. Enjoy your gift of life.